We open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. 16th chapter of the book of Mark's Gospel. Just reading the first 8 verses from this passage of God's Word, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Commencing to read at verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Let's keep our Bibles open there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can turn to Thy precious and Thy holy word for instruction. We thank Thee today that we come to the house of God on this Easter Sunday morning. And we thank Thee that this is a day that reminds us of the Savior's resurrection. We thank Thee that the angel could say, "He is not here, for he is risen indeed." And I pray that Thou wilt help us to know that we come to a house where the Word of God reminds us and proclaims to us that we can serve a living, exalted Savior. We thank Thee that the tomb's empty. We thank Thee that the cross is empty. And we thank Thee that Thy Son is seated at Thy right hand, a Prince and a Savior. Bless us now as we meditate upon Thy Word. And Lord, bless our souls together and make this a great time in Thy presence. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the first message of Easter. The Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross. The Bible tells us that he gave up the ghost. And in those days, whenever people were crucified, they were regarded as criminals. And of course, the burying of criminals was not attended with honor. Generally, actually, after the dishonor of the crucifixion, the bodies would be thrown into the malefactor's grave, or at times the bodies were left to hang on the cross so that the vultures could come and actually strip their bones and feed upon their bodies. But because of the Mosaic law, the Jews requested, they went to Pilate to have the bodies disposed of before the Sabbath day, the sacred Passover. The word it tells us in John's Gospel, they desired that they might be taken away. They just wanted to discard the bodies of those that were on the cross. They were so anxious to fulfill the law of Moses and so get rid of the bodies. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his body was not got rid of. Because God had prophesied in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 9, that Christ would make his grave with the rich. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ would not hang upon the cross for the vultures to eat upon and feed upon the flesh. Neither would he lie upon the discarded grave of a criminal. But the word of God said that he would be buried and that he would be buried in a rich man's grave. And so we find in the providence of God to fulfill the scriptures, there was a rich man called Joseph of Arimathea. Now, Joseph of Arimathea had been a secret disciple of the Lord. And so Joseph of Arimathea intervened, and the Word of God tells us he begged the body of Jesus. He asked that he could take down the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore we find the two men come to take the body down. After Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, no evil hand was placed upon the body of the Son of God. We find the two disciples came, not the disciples that we know of, but Joseph of Arimathea and the man who came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus. And they came and they took the body, but they had a problem. You see, it was near the Passover. And so they had only simply a few hours, just 3 hours, to prepare the body, take the body down, prepare the body. And the Bible tells us that they wound the body of Christ, or they wrapped the body of Christ in linen clothes with spices. Now, let me tell you, there is nothing insignificant that there's something powerfully significant. Because you'll know that Rome talks about the shroud. There was no shroud. That's why, of course, they don't want that shroud examined. They say it's too feeble. It's too, you know, it would just fall apart if they would examine the shroud, which they said that Christ was laid in. Christ was not laid in a shroud. The linen clothes were long bandages like strips that were wound around the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that proves that Rome's claim, as usual, is a fake. It's a fraud. But then, of course, there's nothing new, the Bible tells us, under the sun. And so after winding the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in those long linen strips, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they laid the Lord Jesus Christ in the tomb, and they rolled the stone against the door. Now, as they were doing that, the women were standing afar off, or they were standing some way off. That tells us in Luke's Gospel 23 and verse 55. And they were beholding them as they took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Joseph and Nicodemus wound the body of Christ with the spices. And the women saw that the body of Christ was hastily prepared for burial. And so therefore they desired to come back, and they would take the body of Christ, and they would finalize, or they would finish the burial process or the burial ritual. But you see, the Sabbath day was hastening on them too. And the Word of God tells us that whilst they purposed in their heart to return to the sepulchre and finish the burial, what they had to do before the Sabbath came was this. They had to hurry home, and they prepared the spices and the ointments because they had to rest on the Sabbath day. Now, I tell you this, that's also important, because the women, by doing that, they wanted to finish the burial act. In other words, whenever they were coming to the tomb, they were not expecting the Lord to have risen. They were not expecting the body of Christ to be away from the tomb. They were expecting for the dead body of Christ to be in that tomb. They were the last at the cross. The women were there, last at the cross. In actual fact, there were three women and one man that is mentioned in the Word of God. They watched his burial. They had followed him. These women had followed him from Galilee. And what that really reminds us, they really loved the Lord. They loved the Lord with all their heart. But isn't it amazing that whilst they loved the Lord with all their heart, how weak their faith was? Because they were expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to be in the tomb. But you say that would be natural. But I'll tell you why, that their faith was weak. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken unto them on many occasions that he would rise again. But friend, they could never somehow take that part of the message in. They had not fully listened to what the Lord Jesus Christ had said when he said that he would rise again the third day. I'll tell you what is amazing. Whilst his disciples did not expect the Lord Jesus Christ to rise again, and their hearts were troubled when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about his departure in John's Gospel, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. He knew they were troubled in heart. But isn't it interesting that whilst they did not fully comprehend that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would rise again, yet the chief priests did believe it. They did believe that Jesus Christ, that somehow the enemies heard what Jesus said. And the Word of God says that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went to the authorities and said, listen, lest they steal away the tomb and say he is risen, because he had said he would rise again. Seal the tomb. And of course, they would seal the tomb with a Roman seal. And he would set the guards upon it. Now, in the 16th chapter here of Mark's Gospel, the Bible says, look at verse 1. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, or sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. Notice that, when the Sabbath was past. Now, it is interesting to note something here. Notice there is no mention of how the Sabbath was spent. It said the Sabbath was past. But you say they spent it like they always spent it. No, friend, they didn't. Before this, they had spent the Sabbath with the Lord. But the Lord was not with them in person. This was a different Sabbath. And my friend, let me tell you, this was the darkest day, I believe. The Sabbath day was one of the darkest days that they had ever experienced, because their hopes had been dashed. The Lord Jesus Christ, their master, had died. They were disillusioned. They had lived through that day, and they had no hope of the resurrection. They lived through a day without hope of a resurrection. I'm sure they wondered in their hearts that day, how are we ever going to get through life without Jesus? How are we ever going to face a situation? Because life in reality, he was not there. They were not expecting him to rise. And yet their master was dead. And life has lost its purpose. How are we going to go on without him? Let me tell you, my friend, that's exactly how many people, when their loved ones die, or when a husband dies or a wife dies, that's the question that quite often that the one that's left behind, how will I go on? How can I face life without my loved one not being there? Life had lost its purpose. And many feel like that today. Friend, let me tell you, that Sabbath day, in reality, I believe with all my heart that somehow their whole life had collapsed in around them. It's just as if all their hopes and dreams had come to an end. And yet, isn't it interesting? There's no mention of that despair. There's no mention of that disillusionment. There's no mention of that sorrow. It just simply says here in verse 1, the Sabbath was past. You know, you mothers will understand this. I don't know, but I'm told that one of the greatest pains that anyone can ever endure is the pains that a mother endures at childbirth. But I'll tell you this, there's no pain that's ever so quickly forgotten. Whenever the joy of the child is placed in the mother's arms. And friend, here we find that what they were going to hear just in a few moments' time was that the Lord was risen. And the Word of God says the Sabbath was past. It was past. Maybe there's someone here today, and maybe because of circumstances, you feel that there is no future. Or it's going to be different and you just don't know how you're going to get through next week. Maybe you're faced with a trial that nobody else knows about. And maybe life at this moment has collapsed around you. Thank God there's a great message of hope. Thank God he'll see you through. And God has promised, my grace is sufficient for you. And I want to tell you, there was an afterwards for these disciples. And praise God, a blessed hope dawned in their soul. Yes, they spent that Sabbath. He's dead. Not expecting the resurrection. Those women were not going to the grave to greet the Lord out of the tomb, my friend. They were going to anoint the body, finish the burial. That's what they were going for. I want to tell you this morning, we're not worshiping at the feet of a dead Savior. Glory to God, we're worshiping at the feet of a living Savior, one who is alive forevermore. We're not going to a tomb sealed this morning. Praise God, the tomb's empty. And so very early, the Bible says, when it was yet dark, you just read the four Gospels, put them together, friend. Those women left with the spices in their hands to finish the burial. What was that, friend? That was their gift of love. They wanted to bring the best because they wanted the burial of Jesus Christ just to be exactly right because they loved him. And they were going to bury or finish the burial, not expecting to meet the risen Lord. Not expecting to find the tomb empty. Not expecting to find the body away. They were going to finish the burial. But I'll say this about the woman. Their faith may have been weak, but I'll tell you one thing about it. They were courageous. You think of the courage of those women, friend. You think exactly those women. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem? Do you remember the hosannas? Remember the crowd that met the Lord Jesus? Remember they laid the palm leaves down? Remember they placed their cloaks upon those animals? And they cried, "Hosanna is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And it seemed to be the whole crowd was with them. Very short time, that same crowd was crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And the vast majority of people, my friend, were crying for the blood of Christ. And whilst the crowd were crying out against the Lord Jesus Christ, here was a band of women, unashamedly, walking to the place where Christ was buried because they were standing by their master, even though he was dead. I would simply say this to you. Where were the men? Ever thought about that? Where were the men? They didn't come until the women had faced all the problems and brought the news. So praise God for the woman. Praise God for the woman. Very quickly, let us note some things here. Notice what they saw. Can you imagine these women walking on their way to the tomb? And they're carrying a great burden. And the great burden, friend, was not only that Jesus is dead, but they wanted to anoint the body of Christ, but they've got a big problem. Now, the big problem was not the soldiers, because I do not believe the woman actually knew the soldiers were there or had been there. Because it wasn't until that the chief priests and the Pharisees had gone to the authorities and demanded that they would seal the tomb. When those women saw Joseph and Nicodemus placing the body of Christ in that tomb, friend, there was no sealing. Just a stone was rolled against the door. It was after that the seal was put upon it, and it was after that that the soldiers, they kept guard at the tomb. So the soldiers weren't the problem. But the Bible tells us there was a problem. Look at verse number 4. Verse 4, it says, "The stone, for it was very great." There was the problem. And to be honest, it was a genuine problem. Make no mistake about it. It was a big problem. Because the Word of God emphasizes it was very great. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you filled with a big problem today? This unsurmountable problem? Maybe you say nobody knows what I'm going through this morning, preacher. Friend, that's true. Maybe your family doesn't. Maybe nobody else does. These women were walking along, and look in verse 3, it says, "And they said among themselves," they just talked this over together, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And whilst it's true, it was a genuine problem, friend, let me tell you this. Little did they know, the Lord had already dealt with the problem. It was already dealt with. You see, the Lord was bigger than their problem. It was a great stone, but the Lord was bigger than their problem. The Lord had already dealt with their problem. And what was happening in their lives was this. They were worrying about something that God had already dealt with. Is that you this morning? Are you worrying about something that God has already dealt with? Certainly God's able to deal with it. See, I'll tell you how God dealt with it. Who rolled the stone away? The Bible said it was very great. In actual fact, the word there is not actually rolled. It was hurled away. It was hurled away. There was a great force. What does the Bible tell us? That the Lord sent an angel. And the angel rolled away the stone. God sent the angel of the Lord. And the angel, the Bible says, rolled away the stone. Matthew's Gospel 28, verses 1 and 2. But friend, they didn't know that. See, as these women were walking with love in their hearts and their gifts of love in their hands, they didn't know the stone was rolled away. So they had this big problem. And they were carrying this big problem, this big unnecessary problem that God had dealt with. Listen to the word of God says, casting all your care upon him. Cast it upon him. Brother, sister, in God's name, there may be problems that you're facing today and they're too big for you and they're too big for anybody to carry. But I'll tell you this, they're not too big for God. They're not too big for him. And so we find they didn't know about the problem. It's interesting this. I believe with all my heart. They didn't know about a greater problem. They thought the stone was the only problem. But there were two other problems. Had they only known about it. The soldiers. And the seal. And what all they were worrying was about the stone. I would suggest the stone was, you know, was the minor one. Because how were they going to get past the soldiers? How were they going to get this Roman seal? They dare not touch it. The authority of Rome was on that seal. How would they take the seal off? How would they remove the soldiers? But all they knew about is, how will we get the stone away? I'm glad the Lord hid those other two things from the woman. Likely they would have went into a depression at the if they'd have known about the soldiers or about the seal, you know. I'm glad the Lord hides things from us as well. And maybe you're wanting to do something for the Lord today. But friend, be honest. There's a big impediment in the way. There's something stopping you. There's a big stone. Great stone. Bring it to the Lord today. Thank God he's able to hurl away the stone. He's able to roll the stone away. I want to tell you this, my friend. The Lord didn't leave a little crack by moving the stone just a little to let them peep in. No, no, no. Thank God the stone was completely gone. It was completely removed. We have a great God today. Oh, that we get our eyes upon him. And as they walk together, let's look at it here, just very quickly. Listen. Verse 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And you can just imagine, they were heavy in heart. And then something happens. It says, and when they looked up. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Engrossed in their problems. But here's the evidence of God's power. They saw the stone was rolled away. We've noticed here what they saw. Secondly, what they heard. What they heard. They enter into the tomb. One other wee thing, you know, the Lord, I think, I really do think the Lord has a tremendous sense of humor. He has to have when he has you and me as his children. And I think we should laugh with the Lord. He tells us that the Lord laughs. He does. I shall laugh at their calamity. God's people, you know, the ungodly, they laugh at the things of God. They mock the things of God. I want to tell you, the Lord has the last laugh. And he says, and mock when their fear comes. So you laugh for the one who's in control. And I say to you, God has a sense of humor, because let me tell you, not only did the angel roll away that stone, whenever they walked, you know what the angel was doing? Perched on the top of the stone. Just sitting there. And I can hear the Lord laughing. Didn't they think that the stone was going to keep my son in the tomb? And that old seal upon it and those soldiers. In actual fact, whenever the woman got, there was no mention of the soldiers. They were away. They have run for their life. Because when they saw the angel rolling away the stone, they were like dead men. They pull themselves up and they run. And the angel sits down. Authority. He sits on the stone. I can see it. I can see that angel sitting there. You see, McCrae's got visions. No, I can just see it. I just think it's wonderful. The Lord laughing here. You just sit on the top of that stone. It's a great one. A very great one. Not too great for me. Friend, let the Lord deal with the stone. Let the Lord deal with the impediment. Let the Lord deal with the problem. We're serving a risen Savior today. A living Lord. And so the woman, they go into the tomb. And the Bible says in verse 5, they entered into the sepulchre and they saw a young man sitting on the right side. So they not only look up and see a stone, they look around and they see an angel. And just like you and me, friend, it says, he was clothed with white garments. It says, and they were frightened. They were afraid. They were afraid. But you notice how the Lord handles the situation. It says this. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid. Because that was, listen, they were afraid. So the Lord dealt with what was really in their hearts. He just dealt with their need. He dealt with their need. And he knew they were afraid. And so the Lord addressed their fears. You afraid today? Afraid about tomorrow? Afraid about the future? Isn't it interesting that whenever the shepherds were in the fields and the angel of the Lord appeared in heaven and the heavenly host started to sing praises, what was the message, the first message the Lord gave through the angel at his birth? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And here on the resurrection morning, friend, here we find that God's children, not the shepherds anymore, but the woman, they were fearful. And the Lord addresses their fears. Fear not. You know, whenever I think about it, you know, friend, you and I have nothing to fear when we have the Lord. Psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'll not want anything. Then he talks about life, and then he says this, and even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. Because, Lord, you're with me. You're there. Thank God the Lord's with us. And then the angel gave them a blessed message. Look at verse 6. He says, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Look, look, look at the place where they laid him. Look, here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. He's not here. There's the place where they laid him. You know, because you watched him. Those women saw them taking Jesus Christ into the tomb. They saw the stone being rolled against the door. Yes, they knew about the stone. Yes, they knew that the Lord Jesus was in the tomb. Said, here's the proof. He's gone. See where they carried him and laid him. He's risen. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die like Lazarus died. Because let me tell you, friend, Lazarus died, and you remember, he rose again, but one day he had to die again. But the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, the message was, he's the risen one. He's the risen one. Death has no power over him anymore. The price has been paid. He is the one who has conquered sin. He is the one that has conquered death. He is the one that has conquered the grave. He is the risen one. See. So what did they hear? They said, fear not. And you're seeking Jesus of Nazareth, but he's not here, he's risen. Notice what it says in verse 7. But go. Go. You see, friend, the message which they had was not a message to be kept to themselves. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And isn't it interesting? The first message of Easter was given to women. And it was women who took the first message. They were prominent at the cross, as I said. There were four mentioned. There were three women. And there was John standing beside the cross. And friend, you look at it. Look at the makeup of congregations across the world, and you'll find that across the world, many congregations are made up mostly of women. Look at the mission field, and you'll find in the mission field, many mission fields are relying upon the sisters, the women. I was thinking about that, you know, and say, why women? Because to be truthful, friend, you'll find that women are often more spiritual. Women are more often more devout. They have a trust. In many ways, they have a childlike trust. They're more susceptible to the things of God. Men, sad to say, are more susceptible to the ways of the world. You know, some people think it's strange, this the first message being proclaimed by women, because the Bible tells us, Paul writing to Timothy, he said that the women were to keep silent in the church. And let's be honest, friend, these women were not ordained to the ministry. You'll find that in actual fact, if you turn, just keep your hand there, you'll find that over in Mark's or Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and we read it this morning, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and verses 16 to 20, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mount where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And so I do believe that indeed the ministry, the ordination to the ministry was reserved for the men. But I'll tell you this, my brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, women have a very honorable position in the work of Christ, and never desire to take that away from them. They're great helpers in the work of God. You know what? They were told, verse number 7, go your way, tell his disciples. See that cowardly bunch? Go and tell the cowardly man that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Oh my, this is proof he's right. He's risen, isn't it? There you shall see him. And then I said this. Look at the end of verse 7. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Do you remember what he said? Many times he said it, but they had forgotten. Time's away this morning. Listen, what they saw, what they heard, what they did. Look at verse 8. And they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Now that was their first reaction, friend. They were totally bewildered. And this is what it says in verse 8. Not only did they go out quickly and they fled from the sepulchre, they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. You say, these poor women fell at the last post. You know, they're to tell the disciples. Did they? Yes, they did, friend. See, God knows our hearts. God knows how humanly weak we are. God meets our needs. And if you turn to Matthew's Gospel, and in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, where we read already in verse number 8, Matthew 28 and verse 8, this is what it said. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre. Yes, with fear. Bible says here, with great joy. And they did run to bring his disciples word. With all their fears, with all their bewilderment, they didn't understand all that was happening, friend. I and neither do I. I'm sure in your life you don't understand all that's happening in your life. Maybe you're saying, why is God allowing this in my life? And why is God doing this in my life? Friend, just go with him. Go with the Lord. Let the Lord do the leading. Let the Lord do the guiding. And thank God he leads you to the quiet place. Listen, and they did run to bring his disciples word. Yes, that's what they did. Just before I finish, what was the reaction? What happened? Interesting thing. Go back to Mark's Gospel. You say, my, what a word. What a word. My, the woman, they couldn't wait to get the disciples' word. My, they walked in. They ran in. The Bible says they ran. And they came to the disciples. He's risen. He's risen. They were excited. You could see them there, filled with excitement. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Look at verse number 10. Or verse number 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. It's all about putting a damper on you. They believed not. Turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke's record. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And in Luke chapter 24, go to verse number 9. It says, and returned, or verse number 8, and they remembered his words. They remembered the Lord's words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. Look at verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. It was just like a idle tale. In other words, it was too good to be true. It just was too good. It was nigh impossible to believe. You studied yourself. Peter heard that word. Because you see, the Bible says, would you go and tell the disciples and Peter? And Peter heard those words there. He was sitting amongst the disciples, friend. And there he's sitting, afraid, brokenhearted, because he has betrayed the Lord. And the message was, tell the disciples and tell Peter. And the Word of God tells me in John that Peter ran to the sepulchre. Peter ran to the sepulchre. Peter was moved. Why was Peter moved, friend? Because that message was something special for him. I believe that Peter, yes, he cried that night when he denied the Lord, but I believe that Peter cried that day. Tell the disciples and be sure to tell Peter that I go before you into Galilee. And there are those two words, friend, and Peter. What a gentle, what a tender message that the Lord was going before him into Galilee, and there he would see him. Remember the last time Peter saw the Lord? What was it, friend? Peter had two visions of the Lord, friend, before this. He saw the Lord in the judgment hall when Peter denied the Lord three times, and the Bible says, and the Lord looked at him. And the look that the Master gave him that day broke Peter's heart. And Peter went out. And he wept bitterly. But if you read the Word of God, you'll find that that was not the last view. Because Peter followed afar off. And he was a witness to the suffering of the cross. He was an eyewitness. Now, he wasn't standing with John. And he wasn't standing with Mary and the woman. But he was standing way off, brokenhearted. I've shamed my Lord. And the Lord sends this message. Tell Peter. I'll go before him into Galilee. Maybe you're here this morning, and who is here but has let the Lord down, friend? We've all let him down times in our lives. We haven't been faithful. But Peter found out the Lord was still thinking on him. The Lord never forgot him. The Lord never stopped loving him. And Peter, who felt ashamed, and Peter, who felt forsaken, and he hungered for pardon. And he hungered for assurance that the Lord forgave him. He got a wee word that Easter morning. Oh, may we get a word from the Lord today. Tell the disciples and Peter. Peter, I love you still. I love you still. And thank God he loves us with an everlasting love. Let's thank him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We pray that you'll make it a blessing to our hearts. And Lord, we thank thee that life can never be the same from the moment we meet Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, dear Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. And Heavenly Father, bring precious souls today to Jesus. Save them. Change them. Break their hearts over their sin. Would bring them to the blood for pardon, peace, in Jesus' name.